We're so thankful for the Rodriguez family and that just one testimony of life change, life transformation, that truly, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is in, Jesus, that is in the life-changing business. And this at the beginning of this year, the Lord burdened our heart to just really focus on marriages in particular. So in January, my wife and I started hosting a special gathering, an evening of sharing, learning, and community. We're calling it Unbreakable Marriage. And the next one that we're going to be hosting will be April 21st, Friday night, 7 o'clock. It's free of charge. We do provide free childcare, but it's first come, first serve, and you'll need to call the church or jump online and register your little ones. But it's an incredible evening, married couples gathering together. There's laughter, there's fun, there's interaction, and there's learning. And your marriage will be fed. Your marriage will be strengthened as a result of this. So hopefully you'll show up on April 21st. The title of my message this year is Easter Fears. You think about the story of Easter. How can good news come from a graveyard? But that's the message of Easter. And we find that there was fear mixed with joy along with hope on the very first Easter 2,000 years ago. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 here at Trinity. We stand out of love, respect, and esteem for the public reading of Scripture, so please stand with us. Matthew 28, verse 1, here is the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Easter 2023. We thank you for every family that's represented in our service this morning. Every individual, every soul, every life matters to you. Thank you for the message of hope and joy and power that comes from the Easter story. I pray and ask your grace and blessing upon the remaining of this service, that you're going to speak to the hearts and lives of people. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. We all know that we're living in dark times. Morally speaking, the darkest ever. Yet in the midst of death, despair, and darkness, the Easter message gives all of us hope. Now, this morning, we're all wearing our Easter best. And imagine what the first Easter was like, that moment when the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, headed to the cemetery early before dawn on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, which we refer to now as Easter or Resurrection Sunday. They're going to a cemetery. They're going to a graveyard. And when they get there, the events that were unfolding were mind-boggling, to say the least, shocking, and even terrifying. There's an earthquake. There is this heavenly creature, an angel, who appears. His clothing is as white as the sun, appears as lightning. He's speaking to the two Marys. The Roman soldiers, the hardened Roman soldiers that were placed there to guard the body of Jesus, out of fear the disciples were going to steal the body of Jesus and claim that he had been raised from the dead, they hear and see the events. They're so terrified, they fall as dead men to the ground. And it's striking to me that there's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and courageously, they're taking it all in. Two Roman soldiers have fainted in fear, but they're standing there thinking, this is not what we expected. They actually left early that morning with spices to go and prepare the dead corpse of their Savior Jesus. Even though they heard Jesus talk about, you know, kill me on the third day, I'll be raised from the dead, it didn't register. Not like it does 2,000 years after the fact. This is the first resurrection morning. And they show up, and the message of the angel to these two Marys is very simple. Fear not. Of all the messages around Easter, this is my 23rd, I'm going on my 23rd year here at Trinity, and I've preached now 23 Easter messages. I have 23 different messages on Easter in my sermon file. I mean, I have taken... Thank you. I have taken the Easter story, I have sliced it, I have diced it, I have looked at it from every situation and perspective. And I think the strongest message of Easter is this one, Easter fears. That the angel speaks to the two Marys, and the first strong, powerful message of Easter is this, fear not. Do not be afraid. I looked up the top five fears in America today, over the last year or so. Here are the top five fears. Number one, corrupt government officials, 62.1% of us say, that's our number one fear right now. As we look at our government institutions and the corruption within them, it could be terrifying. People, number two, people I love becoming seriously ill. Russia using nuclear weapons, which is a clear and present threat. In the news just this week, they said that they're moving nuclear weapons to the front lines of the Ukrainian war. Terrifying. Number four, people I love dying, 58.1%. Number five, the U.S. becoming involved in another world war is 56% of us are fearful of that. These are the top five fears. Now, we don't know what were the fears that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had. You know, did they have a fear of snakes and spiders like so many? But we know one of their greatest fears wasn't, at least on this particular day, wasn't going to a graveyard before dawn. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really have a fear of graveyards that I'm aware of because I never visit them, right? You know, during COVID, you know why the graveyard was the safest place to quarantine? Everybody was 6 feet away. Yeah. You know, You know, I grew up in Albuquerque, and there was a beauty salon next to a graveyard. Guess what it was called? Curl Up and Die. You ladies will get that. So on this first Easter morning, the lights got dimmer for some reason. On this first Easter morning, fear, and there was light. See how it works? On this first Easter morning, fear was the dominant emotion, and it's understandable. So the very first thing that the angel says to the two Marys as they're trying to take it all in, the earth is shaking, stones are being rolled away, a heavenly creature sits upon the stone. It's one thing to see an angel, it's another thing to have an angel talk to you, right? Roman soldiers as dead men on the ground, they're like, what is going on here? And the most reassuring message from God through the angel on that day was, verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Say that with me, do not be afraid. Say that again, do not be afraid. We preach about the joy of Easter, but first we need to name the fear surrounding Easter. Put yourself in these ladies' sandals, if you will, right? They arrive at the tomb and they're experiencing all of this. This is a unexpected moment. They could not have anticipated this in their wildest imagination. And yet all of these events are unfolding, and give these ladies some credit. They didn't run in terror. They weren't like the other apostles of Jesus locked up in a room behind a locked door. They were bold and brave and courageous, and they were first to witness the resurrection of Jesus. You got to give it to these ladies, I'll tell you. So the message of Easter, the first message is this, fear not, fear not. Let me ask you a question, it's not a trick question. What's the greatest commandment in the Bible, the greatest commandment? That's right, they came to Jesus one day and they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. He said the entirety of the Old Testament laws hinge on this, really, two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. That truly is the greatest commandment. But what's the hardest commandment? What's the hardest commandment to follow? One of us might name one of the Ten Commandments. You know, do not murder, or do not commit adultery, or do not lie, or do not steal, or do not bear false witness, or don't take the Lord's name in vain. I know for a lot of people, keeping the fourth commandment, honoring the Sabbath, is really challenging these days, right? But what is the hardest commandment? Some might say, well, Jesus also said, love your enemies. I would have to rank that as one of the hardest commandments, to love your enemies. This is what Jesus said. But I submit to you today, if the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, I submit to you that the hardest commandment is this one, fear not. That phrase, fear not, is mentioned 365 times in the Bible in different variations. The command is given, do not be afraid, fear not, do not let your hearts be troubled. It is a reoccurring theme, a reoccurring message throughout the entire Bible, and it's not a suggestion. When a prophet, when an angel, or the Lord himself says, fear not, friend, it is a command. And it's one of the hardest, if not the hardest commandment to obey, because fear is such a part of everyday life, especially the world that we live in today. And yet, the message of Easter is a message of fearlessness, the message of fear not. And how was fear to be defeated? How was fear defeated that day? In the hearts of these two Marys, it was defeated by a promise. A promise. It says in verses 5 and 6 once again, do not be afraid, the angel said. I know that you are looking for Jesus. Say that with me. I know that you are looking for Jesus. One more time. I know that you're looking for Jesus. That phrase, that statement, was not just made on behalf of the two Marys that day on the first Easter. That phrase, that statement relates to all of us. Every human being, whether they realize it or not, they're all looking for something. All of us are looking for something. But we're not just looking for something, we're looking for someone. Whether you today realize it or not, whether the rest of the world today realizes it or not, we are all looking for Jesus. Can you recall the moment, the time in your life that you surrendered your life to Christ? Even if you were raised in a Christian home, there was a moment, there was a time, my oldest son and I were talking about this just the other day, that he and his brother were raised as Christians. You know, they were born in a church practically. And no sooner were they born, I think the following Wednesday night, Gloria brought them to church. They've been raised in a church. They don't necessarily know the specific date. I said, well, what about your water baptism? On that day, you could say that's when you were born again. They don't know when their spiritual birthday is, in other words, because they were raised as Christians. I know my spiritual birthday, January 1st, 1980. I had an incredible experience with Christ on that day, and I know that was the moment when I cried out for his mercy, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. He came into my life, and he changed my life. And it was at that moment that I realized everything that I had been looking for in my short life of 17 years, I had discovered it now in Christ. Whether you got saved in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or you're about to give your life to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you come to the realization, this is what I have been searching for my entire life. Now my life feels complete. The missing puzzle of my life has now just completed the moment you realize Christ is now the Lord of your life. And can I get a witness for those of you that have had the similar experience? So the angel says, do not be afraid. I know what you're looking for. And I say to those of you today that may not know Christ yet, those that may be watching, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking for the Savior of the world. This is the promise that overcame the fear. The very worst thing that could have happened to the early disciples. The very worst thing, the death of God's Son on a cross, and they were eyewitnesses of that. Now, the very worst thing that could have happened is overcome by the very best possible outcome that could have happened, Jesus being raised from the dead. At that moment, darkness had been replaced with light. Death had been replaced with new life. And so in verse 7 of Matthew 28, the angel continues, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. Here is the instructions that the angel gives to these two Marys. You two go back and tell the disciples that you have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. If I were those two Marys, I would have rubbed it in a little bit. Hey, guys, guess what?
What?
We just saw Jesus. We saw an angel, and he told us, not you. We're the first to witness the resurrection of Jesus. Let it be in the history record. Two women were the fearless ones that went to the tomb and they were greeted with this glorious news. Yeah. And here's the promise. Go to Galilee. He's going to meet you there. That was the promise then. You know, that promise is still real today for all of us that follow Jesus. Wherever you go, Jesus will be there for you. Whatever road you have to travel, Jesus will be there on that road with you. Whatever you meet in your future, whatever setbacks, whatever challenges, whatever difficulties, here's the promise. Jesus said, I'll be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the world. We have a friend now that sticks closer than a brother. That's why we can face our fears, because the fearless one is with us. That's why we can accept what Scripture says, fear not, for God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Jesus is going before us. All of us are headed to our heavenly Galilee, and all of us will one day see Jesus with our own eyes. So fear not. Now, most of our fears are grounded in the uncertainty about our future. We don't want to get on an airplane, some of us, because of fear that it will crash. Some people, you know, one out of every two people in America is single. 50% of our congregation is single. That's about the same for all churches. Single by death, by decision, or by divorce. And there is a real fear today of young people getting married. There's not only a fear of marriage, and it's not, what is that fear about? Is it the fear of commitment, or is it the fear of failure because one out of every two marriages is ending in divorce? What's the fear? The fear of being loved and potentially being rejected, the vulnerability of a loving relationship can become too much for so many in our generation today. But there is a fear. There's a fear of those that are married even having children. I know we're in a new season, my wife and I, as you all have all heard. Our youngest son was married over a year ago, and we're expecting our first grandchild. My daughter-in-law is about to give birth. August 7th is the due date, and we know it's a little boy, and his name is Julian. And now we are actively praying for our family and our family members, and now there's this new family member that we're praying for, Julian. I'm thinking, God, my grandson's going to come into this world. What's the state and the condition of this world right now? We are not handing our world to the next generation in very good shape. It needs to ship up, don't you know, right? The world is a very bad place, and we could be fearful. But how do we know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Nothing has taken God by surprise, and nothing will take God by surprise. Whatever comes your way, whatever comes our way, whatever comes the next generation of Christians' way, Jesus has promised to be with them, and he says, fear not, I go before you. Come on, somebody, get excited about that. In Matthew 28, verse 8, so they departed quickly, wouldn't you, with this news. They departed quickly from the tomb. What? Say with me, with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. There was a mixture of this thing called fear, yet with joy. That really does describe what it's like for all of us to move forward in life. There's always going to be a little bit of fear that we're going to have to manage because we're human beings. And so we're going to have to move with joy into the future that God has promised us. Move with joy into the future God has promised you, whatever it is. And yeah, there'll be a little bit of fear still, but we're not going to let that fear immobilize us. We're not going to allow that fear to stop us. A great question has been posed many different ways, and it's such a good question. What decisions would you make with your life if fear wasn't part of the equation? What would you do differently starting today? How would you plan your tomorrows differently? How would you pray about and plan your future if fear was not part of the equation? Now, the reality is sometimes fear is a part. And granted, we should be prudent, we should be cautious, we should acquire wise advice, multitude of counselors their safety, we should pray. We definitely want to be led by the Holy Spirit. But decisions need to be made. Plans need to be made. Preparation for the future needs to be made. And we're going to have to manage the fear and know that the promise of Easter is still the same for us as it was for them. Jesus is going before you, and wherever you go, Christ will be there with you. Christ will meet you, and Christ actually travels with us. So the message is this: fear not. The promise is Christ is with you. So really, all will be well. All will be well. Easter gives us the power to live without fear, trusting Jesus to lead us into the future with confidence. Although we'll still face situations that make us anxious and afraid, there'll be fear mixed with joy. We won't allow that fear to overwhelm us. We can give our fears to the Lord, who conquered death and is waiting for us in our future. That's the promise this Easter of 2023. To live your life fearlessly. And you can overcome fear because you know that your God is faithful. And he's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it might be that you need to find some of these incredible promises in Scripture about God's promise for you, for your life, like Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And these are the thoughts, these are the promises that you need to dwell on. Not all the fear-mongering that's going on in our world, because at the end of the day, you and I are not in control of a single thing except our attitude and the next choice we're about to make. But we do know someone who is ultimately in control, who is seated on the throne, and our trust is not in ourselves, but our trust is in him. I know what you're looking for, Jesus. Friend, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I know what you're looking for according to the words of the angel, according to the teaching of Scripture. I know what you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, and he's here. He's here in this service. You're not here by accident. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you're watching online right now and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God brought you here. That friend or that family member that invited you, or that thought that possessed you yesterday or this week, I need to go to church. And now you find yourself here. And the joy that has been a part of this service, the singing and the celebration, and the message, it's not me that you're hearing. It's Christ's words through me. It's the Holy Spirit that's working in your heart right now. A religious man came to Jesus one day, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and he asked Jesus this important question: how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, ultimately he gave this answer. He said, you must be born again. This was a religious man that Jesus was having a conversation with. You must be born again. That's what Jesus, the Savior of the world, is saying to the entire world today. And he's saying to you, you must be born again. This religious man said, born again? That's a phrase he had never heard before. It's a phrase originated with Jesus, by the way. It's used by many today, and sometimes in an inappropriate way. But what does it mean to be born again? This man literally thought he had to be born a second time. He had to enter his mother's womb and come out a second time. He literally thought that. And Jesus said, time out, my translation. Don't go there. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. A spiritual rebirth. There's a verse of Scripture in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. It says that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And if any man will hear his voice and open up the door of their heart, Christ will come into them, and Christ will have fellowship with them, and they can have fellowship with him. Today in this service, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you open up the door of your heart? Will you give your life to Christ? Because there'll come a day when we'll all stand before those pearly gates, and whether it's an angel or Peter or whoever, the question will be, why should I allow you into the eternal kingdom of God? And you need to have the right answer. And the right answer isn't, well, I was good, I tried to do good to other people, and that's good too. Trying to be good is a good thing, but that doesn't get you to heaven. Faith alone and Christ alone gets you into heaven. And if you're asked that question, here's the right answer. Because if you look in your records, in that book called the Book of Life, my name has been written in that Book of Life because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've been born again. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to receive Christ, you have never been born again, but the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart, and He's been drawing you, and this is the moment of truth. You would like to surrender your life to Christ, heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians quietly praying. If that's you, all over the auditorium, raise your hand right now. Don't hesitate. Lift it up right now. I see hands going up. God bless you everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Up on the balcony, raise your hand. All right, thank you. You can put them down. Second of all, if you're here today and you've already been born again, you've even been water baptized, but you've strayed from Christ and you know that you need to rededicate your life to Him. You need to recommit. You need to enter back into sweet communion with the Lord. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand all over the auditorium right now. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are going up everywhere, literally. Thank you, Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit working on you. Now, I'm going to ask you in a moment to do something very courageous. Not as courageous as what Mary Magdalene and the other Mary did, but in the same category. I'm going to have in a moment everyone stand, and a worship song is going to begin. When that worship song begins, I'm going to ask you to leave the seat, the aisle where you're at, walk down the aisle, and come down to the altar and meet me here. You say, well, why do I need to do that? Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. There's something powerful about a public confession. There's something powerful about you leaving that seat where you're at. The symbolism behind it of you leaving that seat as though you're leaving your old life and you're coming to the altar to meet Jesus to begin a new life and to have a new start. I want everybody to stand. If that was you, and many of you raised your hand to rededicate your life to Christ or give your life to Christ, if that was you, we're going to wait for you. As soon as the song begins, I want you to make your way to the altar. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Come now. Those of you that came to the front, listen to me. You raised your hand to commit or rededicate your life to Christ. This is a beautiful moment. You're not joining a church. It's more than that. That's important. You are surrendering your life to Christ. And the greatest of all miracles is about to take place. Christ is going to come into your life, and He's going to change your life from the inside out. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is what is about to happen in just a moment. Every sin you've ever committed, every evil thought, every evil deed, by the power of the blood of Jesus, is going to be forgiven. You're going to be absolved of those sins. They will never be held against you. And here's what the Bible says. God will take your sins and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Hallelujah. The Bible says He's going to cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, which means north and south will meet. East and west never meet. When God forgives, God forgets. The next thing that's going to happen, because Jesus said in John 6:37, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out or cast away. The next thing that's going to happen, God's going to take your name, and there literally is in the Bible a book called the Book of Life. And God is going to write your name in the Book of Life. Perhaps now with new technology, it's a computer that an angel is working on right now. And he's about to enter your name and your information on that computer, which means what? It means this. You have a place reserved for you in heaven from this moment forward. Now, everything on the inside is going to change. On the outside, it's going to remain the same for the days, weeks, and months to come. Christ begins to change you from the in, not from the outside. Religion tries to change us from the outside in. Christ changes us from the inside out. You'll become a brand new person in Christ today, and then you'll learn how to walk and become more like Christ over the next, for actually the rest of your life. Here we go. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here we go. Say this with me out loud with your own mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Congratulations. I am so happy. I'm so honored to be able to be a part of this incredible moment in your life, whether you're giving your life to Jesus for the very first time or recommitting your life to Christ. And now, if you don't have a home church, you're welcome here. We want to come alongside of you and help you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. We want to help explain what has just happened in my life. There's so much, so many exciting things that God will show you and reveal to you about your life moving forward. So we have some really loving, caring people around you. We have a booklet we want to place in your hand called The New Birth. It kind of explains what just happened. It gives you Bible verses to look up. If we need to provide you with the Bible, we will. So altar workers, begin to mingle with those that have come to the front here. We have some information we would like for you to fill out. You can do it right here, right now. We'll come with some information now. Or jump online and you can do it electronically. But listen, please, we want to hear from you. We'll keep all your information private. I guarantee that, okay? To the best of our ability. But we want to lift you up in prayer by name over the next 30 days. And we want to make this connection with you. So once again, can we thank the Lord on behalf of those that have come forward today? Altar workers, begin. I don't see anybody handing out any information here. We might need some of you altar people to become an altar worker all of a sudden. Amen, right? We want to get this information to you. Hallelujah. The rest of you, fear not. Christ will go before you. He is with you, and His promises are sure. We love you. God bless you. Hope to see you midweek, Wednesday night, or next weekend. God bless.